Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 107. McMonagle here with you on the fan. 888-808-1019. Focusing mainly on the Jets here. We're going to get to the Mets in a little bit. And another just, I mean, the first time in franchise history, three consecutive 10 runs or more. And for that, and that's been a dormant offense, just has completely erupted over the last three games without Francisco Lindor. I mean, unbelievable. And what Acuna's doing, and obviously Alonso with a home run. It seems like he's starting to put it together. Obviously, a slumping Vientos is kind of broken out of it with a home run in this game. And Nimmo calling out the fans, taking care of business. So a great win for the Mets. They continue to just build on an unbelievable year. And they look poised and ready to be not only just, you know, win the wild card and get in, but be dangerous once they're in there. Like, I know right now the Jet fan, I know I'm talking on the Jets and I'm watching a Jet commercial. The Met fan's feeling right now is get in and the rest is gravy. I get that. And that's a fair take. It's a reasonable take. Feels like you should want more than that right now, no? I feel like, screw gravy. Feels like this team right now, with the way they're pitching, the way they're hitting, who they're beating. I mean, now they have three more games against Philadelphia. They can't go out and lose the next three. Last night means nothing. You have to make every game with the Mets right now in this pennant race baseball, which is fun. You have to make every game stick by playing well the next game. Otherwise, that if they go out there and lose later today, then last night didn't mean much. If they go and lose the next three, then last night certainly didn't mean much. So they still have to continue to play well. But right now, what makes you think they're not going to play well? Alvarez coming out of his funk offensively. He's hit, what, three home runs now since that three-run shot that gave him a six-run inning against the Blue Jays off the night where they were getting no hit until Lindor hit the home run? Like, he's had three home runs since. Acuna's been incredible. Alonso's waking up. Vientos is waking up. Nimmo's waking up. And they're still pitching better than any team on the planet. I mean, telling you, it's the Mets world we're all just living in. But right now we are focused on enjoying the Jet game because I feel like that's a moment. You know, the Mets have given the fans a little bit of a moment here. They were in the World Series. I know it's going back 9 years already, but they won 101 games 2 years ago. You know, they've been, this is an every night thing. We'll talk about the Mets tomorrow night or Monday or whatever. This Jet win feels like it's a year in the making to see Aaron Rodgers play like this. And longer than that since this Jet team looked like they looked last night. Have they won games by three touchdowns? Yes. Have they had dominating defensive performances? Yes. Have they found ways to get in the end zone and score points? Yes. Has it looked like this with an MVP, Hall of Fame caliber quarterback? No, it has not. Nick and Dobbs Ferry, what's up, Nick?
Chris, yes, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great this Friday morning. How are you?
You sound like you're killing it tonight. And before I get to my points, I just want to give you your flowers. I mean, we all know, everyone listening, you are the real generational talent at WFAN.
Yeah, well, listen, it's obvious. I don't like to say it much because then I'm doing his shtick, but we all know.
Besides that, I mean, you are a Frank Carey athletic freak.
I am an H. Frank. Listen, I'm an H. Frank Carey stud. There is no doubt about that. They have very seldom have seen the likes of me. Although, you know, I hear like, you know, I was speaking about the generational talent. Like, I remember when I was working with him a few years ago, his high school came a call in for career day or something. I don't know. He made an appearance there. Haven't heard a word from that H. Frank Carey, though. Be nice. You still there?
Listen, I saw the pictures. You showed the pictures.
It's undisputed. I was the athlete of the year. I probably have the check somewhere. I had a $700 gift certificate for college books to prove it. So listen, I was athlete of the year. There's no doubt.
Listen, no denying it. Anyone who does, conspiracy theorist. Aaron Rodgers might deny it, but not you.
Well, it's, Aaron Rodgers probably denies a lot of things. That's true. But he was undenied. He could not be denied himself last night. He was brilliant in this game, and it was fun to watch.
Yes. Last night, tonight, you know, tomato, tomato.
Mm-hmm.
But so basically what I'm getting to is the Aaron Rodgers thing. So now that I buttered you up and now you're feeling good.
Yes.
I do want your take because you are a generational talent.
Thank you.
You are the original Grimace, as we all know.
It's true. You are a fan. You are a Carton and Roberts fan. I appreciate that. Yeah. I can't remember the rapper's name off the top of my head. I got to think back of it. But yes, he called me. I was wearing a purple shirt and he called me Grimace. Yes, before.
Yes.
Grimace became popular with the Mets. Obviously, not before Grimace existed. But yes, before.
Well, that's why.
Before it was cool to mention Grimace, I was being called Grimace. Yes, that's true.
Yes, exactly. So getting on to the Aaron Rodgers point, I have a question for you because obviously you know better than me. And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought tonight was a complete love letter from Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
Yeah.
This is my question. I'm just making a point in the fact that this guy has wanted to do this in New York for so long. He had to sit on the sidelines for a freak injury for so long. And the first time in front of the Jets fans, he came out and did what he had to do. So my question to you is, even though you've had bad takes before, such as saying George Harrison had a better solo career than John Lennon, which is crazy.
Okay.
And also buying $15 jumbo shrimp. That's creepy.
Yes. But I think it was $14, but yes. And I don't know if I ever said that he had a better career, but I do think All Things Must Pass is a better album than anything John put out.
Okay. I mean, Double Fantasy, but I guess
it's a good album. It's a very good album.
Whatever.
Yep.
Well, keep watching the wheels. But what I got to ask you is this sustainable? Because, listen, he looks great. Some of these rollouts, I mean, I'm not just talking about the throws and the Jets defense. I mean, against a terrible Patriots team, of course.
Yep.
His rollouts looked great. They looked NFL ready. But against a real team, I mean, obviously the Patriots, every NFL team is a real team.
Yeah.
But against a team like, the Ravens, so to speak, can you see this being sustainable over the season, especially with him being mobile like this at this age? I mean, is he risking anything?
He's not risking anything. No, I don't think he's risking anything, and no more than he would any other time in his career. You always risk something when you go out onto the field, but no, I don't think any more than usual. And I mean, you mentioned the Ravens, Gardner Minshew. Went down the field to beat the Ravens, down 10 points with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like Aaron Rodgers can't do it? The way Aaron Rodgers played last night. Now, Morgan Moses, we're going to find out what the knee injury is. He was able to walk off on his own accord. We'll see how much, if he misses time. The offensive line has to block for him, no doubt. The offensive line has to block for him. But, yes, I think what we saw last night is sustainable. He's getting better. Like, if it were he came out with the energy and excitement of game one and played really well against the 49ers, and then it got progressively worse, or he came out in the first quarter and played great and it got progressively slower. Like, he's building up. Like, that, it's a positive feeling that he's building up. He was better in week two than he was in week one. He's been better in week three than he was in week two. Like, he's having the normal progression that you would expect someone to come from coming back from injury. So is it sustainable? Absolutely it is. Does it mean he's going to have a great game every week? No, it doesn't mean that. I like to think he'll play at least up to some sort of standard every week. But no, is he going to be this good? Is he not going to have a pick and three and two touchdowns and, you know, win by three touchdowns every week? No. Is he going to play tougher teams and tougher defenses where it won't look this easy? Of course. But no, is the mobility is there. I think it's proven that it's there. Once you have an Achilles, are you subject to another Achilles injury? Yeah, I mean, of course, there's no guarantee he's going to stay healthy. But as long as he is, everything you saw last night is without question sustainable. And he could do this every week. Doesn't mean he will, but he's capable of doing it every week. I don't think we saw anything last night that somehow he was able to do just because it was the home opener and he had his adrenaline going. And I think everything we saw last night will be capable next Sunday. No doubt. I don't think he did anything that I can't foresee him doing every single week. Max and Yonkers. What's up, Max?
Yo, what's up, boss?
What's up, buddy?
I love your show.
Thank you.
How you doing, bro? I love your show, guys. You guys are the best. You make my night always.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Just want to talk about some football real quick with you. I know you were over here comparing A-Rod and Eli Manning. You think that A-Rod's better than Eli career-wise?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yes, he's far better.
Oh, and you from New York? How could you say that, bro?
Because I have eyes, and I'm somewhat objective. Like,
oh,
I mean, come on,
man.
Come on. I hate to knock it to you. Eli Manning's 500 for his career. I mean, I know he had the two Super Bowl runs, including beating Rodgers on his way to the second Super Bowl, no doubt. Eli Manning never sniffed an MVP. He has four. He's so far better a quarterback, it's not worth discussing.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. I love Eli, and he's a Hall of Famer. But we're talking about we're talking about one of the handful of greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game in Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning is not that.
Eli's one of them. You got to put him up there. But no. That's not even my argument. That's
okay.
Not what I'm coming here for.
Sure.
I got a better one for you.
Yes.
We're gonna go to Giants and Jets. I think, like, from what we've seen, what we've been seeing these first three games.
Yeah.
With Wilson. He's not really the WR1, in my opinion. We're seeing a lot of Lazard.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to compare receivers, and you were saying the Giants don't really have a future in this and that, bro, we got Malik Nabers, bro. Like, if you ask me who's better right now, who I'm taking to start my team with, Malik Nabers or Garrett Wilson, I'm going to go Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's not. I mean, listen, you wanted to make this a Giant Jet thing. Right now, you're going to lose it. I mean, you're going to lose it. I think Garrett Wilson is every bit as good as Malik Nabers. I don't think there's a doubt. I think they went into this, as you heard Bill Belichick talk about it, whether you watch his fantasy show, whether you watch him on the Manning cast. Like, there is every defense has gone into this with one objective, stopping Garrett Wilson. That's plain and simple. Now, I think Malik Nabers absolutely is on par. Like, these guys come out of college. For the most part, the wide receiver position, in recent history at least, has been about as bankable a position that you can have translating college to the NFL. It feels like the stud wide receivers traditionally translate pretty damn well to the NFL, more so than almost any other position. So I think Malik Nabers is legit, and I think he's great, and he had a great first game, but that Washington Redskins team defense is pretty awful as well. And Rodgers has the ability to get the ball around the field. The Giants focused on getting Malik Nabers the ball that day. Like, he threw 18 targets of his 28 passes went to Malik Nabers. And unfortunately, if you want to have this conversation about Malik Nabers, you got to have the conversation of him dropping the biggest pass of the game. So right now, I would say what we've seen on tape and the amount of games, I think Garrett Wilson has a leg up over Malik Nabers. That's how good Wilson's been. And when you say, you know, Lazard's one, I mean, you know Lazard is not the number one wide receiver. Stop it. Because they paid so much attention to Wilson, Lazard has gotten open. And again, just starting with Aaron Rodgers, just getting comfortable, he has gone to a guy he's had a career with and had history with and knows how they each other think. And they're more simpatico than maybe he is with Garrett Wilson so far 3 weeks into his Jet career. So if you want to have a competition about Giants and Jets, right now you're going to have a real tough time winning an argument almost on any front that the Giants have anything better than the New York Jets. And that includes head coach, which I know everyone's going to want to scream about. It includes head coach. Jack in Tom's River. What's up, Jack?
Hey, something about that last caller's point too. Like, I don't necessarily understand it, just especially like after watching the game today.
Yes.
There's a lot of plays where it just seemed like they were just not on the same page of where Rodgers wanted Wilson to be or vice versa, where,
yeah,
you know, where I feel like Garrett Wilson probably could have picked up at least 30 to 40 more yards than he had.
Yeah, it has looked it looked a little clunky tonight, even in a great night where they were able to get the ball around. It did look a little clunky. And, you know, there was some moments even in training camp where, you know, famously there was the video of them kind of screaming at each other, or at least having, I shouldn't say screaming at each other, but having a animated conversation on a couple separate occasions. So
I would expect that, though, to get a lot better throughout the
I would expect that
season,
to get a lot better.
Yeah.
I think Garrett Wilson is going to have a monster year. Through 3 weeks, it hasn't been that way. He did get a touchdown in this game. He did make an incredible catch. Was it week one or week two? I can't remember. He made a really great catch. But
against the Bottoms, I think you're talking about. Yeah, the third one against the Titans.
But it's been good. And it has been good. The rest of the offense has been good, but I fully expect, like, if you told me other aspects, like, I would be more concerned about almost any other aspect of the offense not clicking immediately, where that one, I trust the talent enough where eventually I think the two of them will get on the same page and get it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely agree there. And just going on to my point of just I think what Aaron Rodgers can truly do for the franchise. You know, if you recall from last year on 9/11, I was at the game, and the energy and the just the feel that just, you know, I'm a Jets fan, like, that we all kind of had amongst each other just felt so much different than years past of just same old Jets. And I feel like tonight you kind of saw what that was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
In a sense, from last year. And I fully think, you know, seeing him roll out the way he did and firing lasers the way he did to a lot of receivers. He looked so much different than the first 2 weeks.
Oh, I agree. He looked much better. He looked much better. It's really promising because that's what you want to see. You want to see the progression. You want to see him get better. And it looks like he's getting better and more mobile. I mean, that's really the takeaway. He just looked so much better rolling out. He looked so much better with his legs. He looked so much better. And honestly, because if you went back and you look, and a lot of people talked about it as they brought him on last year, he did not have a typical great Aaron Rodgers season his last year in Green Bay. Coming off back-to-back MVPs, he did not have a great year. Now, he had a thumb injury. He was fed up and unhappy with the organization. And sometimes that can just bleed into the seasons. You'd like to think it shouldn't, but I just think his time in Green Bay was up. He was dealing with a little bit of a thumb. He had these young wide receivers. You know, he knew that they were probably looking, you know, to move on from Love. He probably saw Love performing well in practice. And I think it just all boiled into him not having a great last season in Green Bay. What he looked like last night, that looked like the Aaron Rodgers who was winning MVPs. That's what it looked like. It looked like anything better than we saw his most recent year in Green Bay. And that's extremely promising. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls. We got to get to the Mets a little bit in the near future here. I do want to take your Jet calls because I do believe it's that kind of night for the Jet fan. I want you to have your chance to call in and have some fun, enjoy what last night was. But the Met fan deserves to enjoy what the hell's going on at Citi Field last night, too. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to the picks. And we'll get to the greatest baseball player in history, doing the greatest baseball player in history type things last night. 888-808-1019.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
You talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so I just saw a stat that's exactly what we're talking about. Like, just this is the difference between Aaron Rodgers and what the Jets have been doing. Last year, right? How many weeks did it take the Jets to score 9 offensive touchdowns? This year, it's taken 3 weeks. They have 9 offensive touchdowns. Last year, 11. It took week 11 before they had 9 offensive touchdowns. It took 3 weeks this year. That's the difference. I mean, that's plain and simple, the difference. Let's go to DJ in East Brunswick. What's up, DJ?
What's going on, Z-Man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man. Like you said before about Shohei Ohtani doing something really historic. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would say in the last 100 years, nobody has seen what we're witnessing right now.
No.
So this is the most special time to be alive and to be a baseball fan. It really is.
No, I hear Shohei Ohtani is otherworldly. I mean... There's just no... I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. I don't want to spend too much time on it now. I'm still trying to get these Jet fans their due here. And before we get to the Mets, but you are 100% right. I mean, he had a game last night where he hits 3 home runs.
6 for 6.
6 for 6. And drives in 10.
A single.
Right.
Two steals.
Yeah.
Which hasn't been done since 1901.
Yeah.
He's
the first member ever. He made it, and he ran through the finish line. He's got 51 home runs and 51 steals as a DH, and I think there's talk about him being added to the bullpen for the postseason. So if this dude, I'm not even kidding. I get into a lot of crap, DJ. A lot of people give me crap. A lot of people call up and tell me, "Oh, how could you say this?" Tell me another baseball player on the planet who's going to hit you 50 home runs, steal 50 bases, which has never been done alone by itself, and then possibly close games for you in the postseason. Like, I'm not. That's just that you're laughing.
It's real.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And DJ, thank you for the call. Like, honestly, I'm going to get to it in a little bit. Like, think about that. This guy is rehabbing from major elbow surgery. And while he's rehabbing, he's hitting 50 home runs, stealing 50 bases, hitting leadoff for the, a team that's going to win their division. And there's a chance he's going to be closing games for them in the bullpen come postseason time. Like, now, I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. He's throwing and there's some talk that he might be added to the bullpen. But, like, that's crazy. He's going to be a high-end reliever if he does it. You're going to talk about a high-end reliever. You're going to have a guy. Like, honestly, think about this for a half a second and tell me this isn't the greatest player to ever play the freaking game. And call me up and talk about how Hank Aaron did it for 100 years. And I get it. I'm not knocking Hank Aaron or Willie Mays. But show me another guy who might drive in 3 runs, hit the biggest home run of the game, and then close it out. Show me that guy. Can you imagine a playoff game right now? Dodgers, Padres, Dodgers, Mets, Dodgers, Phillies, NLCS, Dodgers, Phillies. I know Mets fans, we're going to hope the Mets are there. But let's just say Dodgers, Phillies, NLCS. They win a game 3-1. He hit a 3-run home run, and he gets the last 3 outs of the game to close it. Like, how is that not the greatest player to ever play? It's crazy. That's it. No one's ever played baseball better. No one's. He doesn't have to do it for 100 years. I don't care. He's doing things no one's ever done. If he does that, if he has the biggest hit of a game and then closes it out, what's the argument that anyone's ever been better? And I heard, and again, we're going to praise the Mets tonight. They deserve the praising. I don't want to piss off any Mets fan, but I did hear Pat Boyle earlier. Did a great job filling in for Keith. I heard him coming in. I was thinking the same thing. I didn't want to say it too much, but especially now with the Mets on the run, but this officially puts to bed any hope of Lindor winning the MVP, right? Because Lindor not only isn't having the offensive season, but we talk about what's value mean. The Mets are dominating at a level they haven't dominated yet this year without him. Now, that doesn't mean they would be here without him, because clearly he was the driving force. But again, you know, we talk about, oh, what else do they have? Otani's in this great lineup. The Mets have just scored 30 runs in the last three games without him. And Otani is 50-50. I mean, unfortunately, there is no MVP discussion anymore. That doesn't mean he can't come back, and I hope he comes back. I'm worried he's not. I don't think he's going to play this series. I really don't. For a guy like that, as tough as Lindor is, and he is tough, and he plays every single game, for that guy to sit out these games now, for him not to play against Philly in a pennant race, I don't care what he says, that he's feeling better every day, he must be really going through it. Because how does he not play?
Do you think it's almost an arrogance where they think that, oh, we're going to make the playoffs, let's just hold him out till the...
I don't know if you want to call that arrogance. I think maybe there's a discussion of, hey, we do have a bit of a cushion here until you're 100%. Why risk it? Why risk playing you and having to pull you out the way we did the other day? Like, if they were down two games, maybe there would be a different sense of urgency. But then also, Acuna comes up and plays well. So it's like, hey, we got someone who's red hot. We have an advantage right now in the standings. Why risk it until you're 100%? I think that plays into it, the situation, no doubt. But I also think that if he was feeling good enough to play, like 100%, no, I'm good to play, he would play. Andrew in Island Park. What's up, Andrew?
C-Mac, first time caller. Before I get to my point, just wanted to give you a little tip of the cap. It's not easy doing these late night shows, especially as solo hosts. So just appreciate the determination, the grit that you bring to the show. Always a great listen. But
generational talent.
Yeah, of course. But I'm a 24-year-old Jets fan. I've never seen anything good for this franchise. People need to realize how good Aaron Rodgers is.
I think they forgot.
Remember last
I think
year,
they forgot.
Everybody's calling for Alan Lazard to be cut.
Yep.
People thought that this guy could not play in the NFL anymore.
Yep.
Because Aaron Rodgers wasn't throwing to him. Like Mike Williams, he's not even 100%. He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He looks like he can be a weapon to this team. Like Aaron Rodgers over.
He is the tide that rises all boats. There's no doubt about it. That's what he is. That's what great quarterbacks are. That's what we're seeing with C.J. Stroud and with the Texans. I know they made some moves in the offseason, but they went from a miserable franchise who consistently had top draft picks to winning playoff games against the Browns last year. I mean, like that's what great quarterbacks do. They rise all ships, and he is just unbelievable. And what he's, you're right. I mean,
he's up in his whole career. Look at all of his receivers he's thrown to.
They've never drafted him an offensive weapon once.
Mercedes Lewis are the only two first round picks that have caught a touchdown pass from him.
Yeah.
It's incredible how he can lift up these other receivers. Everyone's calling for Devontae Adams. Would love Devontae Adams to be here, but I feel pretty good with the weapons.
Absolutely.
Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers.
Absolutely, 100%. You're going to see it in Buffalo, too. You're going to see it in Buffalo right now. Everyone, Diggs is gone. Who's he going to throw to? Anyone. Like and the Jets have Garrett Wilson. You're right. Would you take Devontae Adams? Sure. Are you trying to go all in the next few years to the one giant hater's point? Yeah. This fairy tale doesn't last that long. We understand that. I think it might last longer than some might think. I think next year is very good of a chance. And then maybe even the year after that, if he wants to play, depending on how he looks, is possible. But that's about it, right? I mean, you're looking at a max 3-year window now. This year and maybe two more. I think next year is a good chance to add another one to it. It seems like about as much as you could possibly hope for. So you have a 3-year window. Let's just call it that to be fair, because hey, we're coming off of that victory and we're being a little, we're taking some liberties here. So let's just say you have a 3-year window. Sure. Do you want to stack this roster with as many great players as you can? You want someone who obviously has had massive success, the Rodgers, to come in? Sure. Do they need him? Absolutely not. I don't think so. No, look at how he spreads the ball around. Look at how they're using the running backs in the passing game. How many touchdowns does Lazard have already? And they haven't even, it hasn't even started to really click yet with him and Garrett Wilson. So, no, I don't think so. Paul in Orange County. What's up, Paul?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Thank good, how are you, buddy?
I want to ask you, you're a ChatGPT guy. You're a really intelligent guy.
Thank you very much.
In the old days, the word choke was thrown around by, you know, any kind of fan.
Yeah.
Talking about this guy choked, the team choked, this and that choked.
Sure.
The Dodgers got nine games left, 6 against Colorado, 3 against the Rockies. Who's going to choke? The Dodgers or the Padres and surrender first place in the Western Division and the Dodgers fall out of a bye? Who's going to choke first?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't... The Dodgers?
The Dodgers' rotation is pitiful.
Yeah, I know, they're not going to lose this division. They're going to win the division. They're up 4 games over San Diego at 9 to play, I think. So I would be very surprised if they lose the division. Very surprised. I mean, you're talking
nine
about
games is an eternity down the stretch in baseball.
With a four game. I mean, if San Diego doesn't lose, you're talking about 9 games to play. So if they go, like, say, with 9 games to play, they go 3-6. That gives them 94 wins. That means San Diego has to go 7-2. So San Diego has to go 7-2 if the Dodgers go 3-6.
Right, the Dodgers are flying home tonight on a red eye against Colorado, and then a week from tonight, the Dodgers fly a red eye to Colorado. The last 3 games of the year, and Colorado, you know, chews up, you know, pitching staffs when you play in Colorado. So it's not uncommon that teams choke down the stretch.
No,
so you've got a good mind about. You know, anything could happen in 9 games. 9 games is an eternity in baseball.
Anything could happen, but I'm just trying to give you this would be an epic collapse. That's all I'm saying. And I haven't seen anything from the Dodgers. I know their pitching staff hasn't been good. It hasn't been good for a month now, and they've managed to hold off the Padres. It's not like this happened yesterday. I know Glasnow officially is gone for the year, but he hasn't pitched in a while. Like, this pitching staff hasn't been good now. The starting rotation hasn't been good for a while. And yet they've been able to hold off the Padres. And again, that's just plain math, man. I'm just trying to tell you, like, if they go 3-6, the Padres have to go 7-2. Part of the choking means the Padres have to win. Is it possible? That's a lot. Right? The Met collapse was 7 games in 17. Right? That was the 2007 enormous Met collapse. Was they were up 7 games with 17 to play. You know, 4, which is more than less than half of a difference, like 4 with 9 to play would be a big collapse. And, you know, I don't really want to get away from Jet Talk to focus on what the Dodgers would have to do to blow the division. They're not going to. And the same thing like with the Yankees right now. The Yankees would have to, you know, really, you know, they're up 4 games. Again, 4 games, same thing, 4 games at 9 to play. Now, they have the 3 against Baltimore, but again, if the Yankees go 3-6, right, if they go 3-6, that puts them at 92 wins. The Baltimore would have to go 7-2. Do you see the Orioles going 7-2 right now? I don't. Do you see the Yankees doing worse than 3-6? Maybe if Juan Soto's hurt, but hopefully that's not the case. Lou in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Chris, how are you, my
good.
Friend?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I stay up for you, all right? I usually don't do that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you got a good show there.
Thank you.
As you know, I'm a Jets fan, right? But now you were talking about Eli and Rodgers, okay?
Yes.
I understand. We went over this. Rodgers is a tremendous regular season player, MVPs. But when it comes to football, we're talking about football now, even though Eli was better lucky than good in the playoffs, he went to Super Bowl. That is the only reason why I'd rather have Eli than Aaron Rodgers. Okay? And not only that, but I tell you what, I guarantee you that if you actually know to Brady, if you ask Brady, what will you give two Super Bowls away for those two losses that you got that from Eli, I guarantee you that he don't sleep at night, especially with that
season. It's the undefeated one.
They were undefeated.
Yeah.
Remember the one that was undefeated?
I vaguely remember it. Yeah, I remember when the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots.
Exactly. I'd rather have Eli for that reason. But I tell you what, to me, it's not even Eli. It's not even he's lucky that it's football. He's not. He doesn't even belong to in the Hall of Fame. He was never top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm just telling you. Let me go to.
Lou, I just think you've got it completely backwards. Your take on Eli Manning is like just it's confusing to me because it's completely backwards. Like when it comes to the Hall of Fame conversation, you're talking about he's lucky he won championships, but then when you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, you'd rather have Eli because he won more Super Bowls. Like it's weird exactly. Because like but it doesn't make because I think though. I just my take is completely different. To me, he's clearly a Hall of Famer because of the two Super Bowls, but those aren't enough to make me not want him more than a Hall of Fame 4-time MVP champion who did win a Super Bowl. Like he's won one more Super Bowl. Eli Manning won playoffs in two seasons. That's it. He has 2 years of his career.
He was very lucky, by the way, to get there too.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he was very lucky, but, I mean, he played great in those playoff runs.
When he played the 49ers, the game was over, and the ball happened to touch the 49ers.
No, the game wasn't over. They were punting. Why was the game over? They were punting to the 49ers. The 49ers would still...
No, because the time ran out, but the other team touched the ball, and he just came with a miracle pass, and they won the game. But let me go and show you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? Listen. I don't understand social media, okay? And besides that Lindor talking about MVPs, it doesn't matter what he did tonight. There's no reason. I'd rather have Rich Jr. and
Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Discussion for the MVP because at least one guy play a premium position.
Yeah.
He's a shortstop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has more triples, more doubles, and a better, higher average. He's playing for Kansas City. Aaron Judge is playing for my Yankees, okay?
Yeah, all right, you're kind of all over the place. You're talking about now Bobby Witt Jr.?
Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. I'm saying that's a better comparison. You cannot compare Lindor with Shohei, even what he did tonight. I'm telling you right now. Shohei, you're right. You witnessed history. To be alive, see something you are never going to see again, ever.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got it, Lou. Yeah, I don't want to make this an Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning night. I don't. We got a lot to talk about. I know typically if I had 5 hours with nothing going on, we could have an Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers conversation if you wanted to call and talk about it. But let me just say this, okay? You would be absolutely freaking out of your mind if you were picking a team today. And you had a choice between both of them coming out of the draft or both of them in their prime or whatever, and you would take to have a team, you would take Eli Manning over Aaron Rodgers, you'd be out of your mind. I love Eli Manning. I love him. I will always love him. And those two championships, and I'm a Yankee fan, those two championships are as sweet as any championship I've ever experienced and as sweet as a championship as any championship this city's ever experienced. To beat the undefeated Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, totally agree. That doesn't change the fact that Aaron Rodgers is so far better quarterback, and I know winning is on the quarterbacks, I get it, and he beat Aaron Rodgers on the way to his second, he beat a 15-1 Aaron Rodgers on the way to that Super Bowl. But when you look at that team, there's a reason they were 15-1, it's because Aaron Rodgers was the freaking best quarterback in the league. Like, I'm sorry, like I know he hasn't won enough Super Bowls for everybody's liking, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is so far better than Eli Manning, and I can't just say I'd rather have him because he won one more game than Eli did. than Rodgers did. I just can't. I can't. But when you get to the Hall of Fame, that's when the two Super Bowls kick in, because you got to win championships as a quarterback. He threw as many touchdown passes as he did. He played as many consecutive games as he did. He won two Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer in my book, but Aaron Rodgers is reserved for a special part of the Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers is a top five quarterback to ever play the game. Like, it's different. It's just different. And I also don't agree with you that that game was over in San Francisco. The Giants were punting the ball away. The 49ers had, it's not like the Niners fumbled going in the red zone or anything. That was a punt. They would have had to successfully field the punt and then go down the field to beat the Giants. There's no, like, they might have done that, I guess, but it wasn't like the game was over. They fumbled that punt. The Giants picked it up and kicked the field goal, but it wasn't like they fumbled it at the goal line. The game was over. Seattle against New England in the Super Bowl. That game is over. You know, there are other games. Atlanta against New England in the Super Bowl. That game is over. The Giants 49ers, that game wasn't over. They were punting. That ball was fumbled at the 27-yard line or whatever it was. That game wasn't over. The 49ers still had to go down the field to try and win it, which they were unable to do all game long. Brian in Queens, what's up, Brian?
Hey, C-Mac, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Bro, anytime.
Bro, I'm what a difference a week makes, man.
No doubt.
A year makes. Excuse me, man. I mean, last year I'm leaving that stadium and I'm sitting here not knowing what an MRI is going to show me.
Yeah.
This year I'm sitting here not. I mean, it's house money for this guy. I mean, he's got nothing to lose, and I guess honestly, I was like a glass half empty, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, if this guy doesn't win, fine, he doesn't win, but he's given us a season, or at least makes it seem like you got something when you show up to the stadium.
Oh,
you're out here,
yeah.
Seeing, bro, you're taking subways and buses and pass and everything to over to that jersey.
Yeah,
and you actually got something when you get in your seat. You're seeing an offense move down the field. Like, this is what we wanted last year. We didn't get it, whatever. We got it right now. So I'm living in the moment of it. But, bro, he looked good, man. It was good to be there.
Terrific.
It had energy.
That's the whole thing. You got it, buddy. Thank you for the call. It's uplifting the franchise, man. It's uplifting the fan base. It's that power of belief I like to talk about with Aaron Rodgers. And it's not just the belief he instills in his teammates. It's the belief he instills in the fan base. Totally agree. It feels good to be a Jet fan right now. How often can just that simple little thing, like, and I know I'm dealing in a little bit of, you know, existential stuff right now, and normally it's an X's and O's type thing that we do here, but like honestly, just the little thing of right now, it feels good to be a Jet fan. When is the last time you could say that? Like, honestly, when is the last time? Probably the moment the words came out of his mouth. I intend to play, and I intend to play for the Jets. Like, in that moment, it felt good to be a Jet fan.
I would say the last time they beat the Patriots in 2015, to set them up to go to Buffalo and play that week 17 game.
Right, which they fell on their face.
Exactly.
But, yeah, all right, that moment, like, it's just to wake up tomorrow morning, whenever you go to sleep, if this is your morning and already awake, whichever way it works for you. But, like, typically for the average Jet fan to wake up tomorrow morning and just be like, man, I have Aaron Rodgers. I have a team here. I have a chance to be freaking really good. I have a chance to win a Super Bowl here. I mean, it feels good to be a Jet fan. That they're going to wake up, turn on the radio, listen to Boomer and Geo. You know, get ready, turn on whatever, listen to any ESPN show. I got to go to that podcast, like whatever. Just like they're pumped to get Jet stuff. Like that's what a Jet fan's going to wake up tomorrow and want. They're going to want to listen to me or whomever talk about the Jets, and they're going to want to consume as much Jet stuff. Like that feeling, typically, you know, you want to pretend, and it's the hardest thing about my job. I say this all the time. The worst thing about my job is Monday morning, whether the Giants won by 20 or got embarrassed again, I can't get away from it. Like sometimes you just want to just crawl into a ball and forget the Giants exist or forget the Yankees exist and not relive a terrible loss, and I have to be here reliving it. So, but like for how many Jet fans typically over the years, you wake up on a Monday morning and you want to just forget football existed until Wednesday or Thursday. Not the case. You're going to wake up on this Friday morning knowing you already pocketed a win week 3 and you've got Aaron Rodgers and you're going to want to soak it up like a sponge. You're going to want everything.
You want to hear every stupid stat about the last time, 1995, since they did this. And, you know, like I told you before, 11 offense, 9 offensive touchdowns. It was 11 week, it was week 11 before that happened last year. You're going to enjoy all of it. Rami just sent me another good one. Hold on. Let's see. Text message, Twitter.
I can also
next time, just
it.
Tell me. What do you got? All oh, right, yeah. Okay. 400 yards of offense, 40 minutes time of possession, 0 turnovers, 0 touchdowns allowed, 7 plus sacks. No other NFL team in the Super Bowl era has ever done that in one game. That's a nice one. That's 400 yards of offense, 40 minutes time of possession, 0 turnovers, 0 touchdowns allowed, plus 7 sacks. No other. That's a dominating performance the league has never seen. That's what the Jet fans have this morning as they wake up. And typically, it's the Patriots kick the crap out of them. Typically, Bill Belichick made another young quarterback see ghosts. Like, that's what we typically get. And instead, you're going to wake up and want to hear every one of these stupid little tidbits that mean absolutely nothing in the long run, but are just one of these things that you just want to embrace and love and laugh. That's important. It's a good day to be a Jet fan. 888-808-1019. We still are going to take your calls. Liam, I see you on the phone there. Don't hang up. Quick break. Top of the hour. We'll get more into baseball. Do a little Mets. Do a little Yankees. Do some football picks later in the show. Still a Football Friday here. As we get ready to say goodbye to summer already on September 20th. Is today the day? I always forget. When I grew up, I was always, in my mind, the solstice and the change of the seasons was always the 21st.
I feel like we talked about this.
I definitely have talked about it. Yeah. So I got to see if today is the official first day of fall or not. But as we say goodbye to summer, we say hello to Aaron Rodgers as a New York Jet. It feels pretty damn good. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on this Football Friday on The Fan.